They're awful, they're annoying, and they are eroding trust in our communications networks. We update our rules under the Telephone Consumer Protection Act. We do this because no consumer should be forced to jump through hoops or say special magic words to stop this junk from reaching them.
Rosenworcel's war on robocallers continues with another commission action. The FCC also opens the door for advanced technology in wireless microphones and a $40,000 dinger for Super Danny. All of that and more coming up.
REC, FCC Today, BG Bradley.
This is FCC Today, the podcast for Tuesday, February 20, 2024, covering last week at the FCC. Last Thursday, the FCC held their February Open Commission meeting. In that meeting, the commission has affirmed that the Telephone Consumer Protection Act does restrict robocalls and robotexts.
In today's increasingly digital world, consumers are inundated with information coming through a variety of different communications channels. Some of these communications are helpful, but the majority of it is junk. Junk robocalls and robotexts make it impossible to manage them, and consumers end up ignoring these automated communications entirely, even the helpful ones. Consider the difficulty of navigating these communications and removing yourself from unwanted lists if you speak a language other than English. Today, we update our rules to empower consumers' rights to decide which robocalls and robotexts they receive. We clarify that consumers can opt out of call or text list using any reasonable means. We clarify as well that consumers may respond in the language in which they received the communication. And we make clear that there are no magic words that consumers must use. That is important. These updates strike the right balance between ensuring consumers can easily and efficiently opt out of unwanted junk robocalls and robotexts while remaining connected to those they find useful.
That was FCC Commissioner Ana Gomez on the adoption of new robocall and robotext rules. Thursday's action adds rules that require robocallers and robotexters to honor do not call revocation requests within 10 days, and also codifies two previous TCPA rulings, including a 2015 decision that consumers can revoke consent under the TCPA through any reasonable means, and a 2012 clarification that one-time text messages that simply acknowledge a consumer's choice to opt out does not violate the TCPA as long as it does not include any marketing messages. In the same decision, the FCC will be inquiring whether the TCPA should also apply to robocalls and robotexts by wireless providers to their own subscribers and whether consumers should have the ability to revoke consent and stop such communications. The FCC has also proposed a new framework for licensing related to in-space servicing, assembly, and manufacturing.
ISAM refers to a broad range of novel capabilities that occur on orbit, on the surface of celestial bodies, or in transit between these regimes. These operations can include inspecting, repairing, or refueling in-orbit spacecraft, capturing and removing debris, and transforming materials through manufacturing while in space. ISAM has the potential to launch new scientific and economic opportunities along with new tools for the sustainable use of outer space. The NPRM proposes a definition of ISAM space station in section 25.103 of our rules, drawn from the definition of ISAM in the ISAM National Strategy, and proposes a new rule section in part 25, section 25.126, to establish a basic framework for licensing ISAM space stations. These proposed new rules, specific to ISAM space stations, would make the application process more effective, efficient, and transparent for this new yet burgeoning industry. The NPRM proposes that applications that fit within the proposed definition of ISAM space station could elect to apply through the existing Part 25 licensing procedures or through the existing streamlined processes for small satellites and small spacecraft. The NPRM also proposes that operators of ISAM space stations could apply for grants of U.S. market access. The proposed framework would include an exemption for ISAM space stations from the Commission's processing round rules for non-geostationary orbit space stations and from the first-come, first-served process for geostationary orbit space stations, so long as the ISAM applicant submits a certification and narrative description confirming communications will be compatible with existing operations in the requested frequency bands and not materially constrain future use of the spectrum. The NPRM proposes that the Commission would review ISAM operators' requests for frequency use on a case-by-case basis, consistent with our process for small satellites and small spacecraft. The NPRM also proposes to require operators of ISAM space stations to comply with the Commission's existing orbital debris mitigation rules and proposes to review orbital debris mitigation plans for ISAM space stations on a case-by-case basis. Finally, the NPRM proposes a one-year grace period for ISAM space station licensees or market access grantees to meet the Commission's milestone requirement or else file a surety bond, consistent with the rules for small satellites and small spacecraft.
As we discussed 2 weeks ago on FCC Today, the podcast, the FCC has adopted a notice of proposed rulemaking proposing changes to the emergency alert system to require manufacturers to support multilingual emergency alerting and to have EAS participants, such as radio and TV broadcasters, that operate in a language other than English utilize these multilingual alerts.
The item before you proposes to expand multilingual alerting through the use of pre-scripted or template alert messages. These template-based alerts would be translated into the 13 most commonly spoken non-English languages in the United States: Spanish, Chinese, Tagalog, Vietnamese, Arabic, French, Korean, Russian, Haitian Creole, German, Hindi, Portuguese, and Italian, as well as in English. The scripts and audio files would be produced by the Commission and would be pre-installed and stored in the Emergency Alert System, or EAS equipment, operated by the broadcasters, cable service providers, and other EAS participants that distribute alerts. The NPRM seeks comment on a process through which alert originators could choose to initiate multilingual template-based alerts. Should the alert originator choose to initiate a template-based alert, EAS participants would be required to transmit the alert using the template audio and script in the language that corresponds to the primary language of their programming content. If a provider offers multiple channels with different programming content in different languages, the provider should transmit the template script and audio in the language that corresponds to the primary programming content for each channel. The item seeks comment on the technical feasibility, costs, and efficiency of this template model, as well as on various related considerations, including which EAS messages should be supported through multilingual templates, such as those most commonly used by alerting authorities, as well as those which may be most time sensitive and thus critical for immediate comprehension, whether the translated scripts and audio could include customized information such as location names, whether EAS participants should be allowed to transmit template alerts only in the language that corresponds to the programming content of their channel or channels, or whether they should be able to include additional languages, whether additional languages could and should be supported through this model, and whether and how American Sign Language could be supported in this model.
Finally, the FCC adopted a report and order in ET Docket 21-115. This relates to wireless microphones. The report and order now allows wireless microphone systems to utilize wireless multi-channel audio system, or WMAS technology. WMAS is a system that digitally combines the signals of multiple low-power devices into one radio frequency channel. WMAS will be authorized in the VHF and UHF television spectrum with a maximum bandwidth of 6 megahertz, provided that the signal does not occupy more than one TV channel. It will also be permitted in the duplex gap at 653 to 657 megahertz, as well as in portions of the 900 megahertz band. In the 1.4, 6.9, and 7.1 gigahertz bands, bandwidths can be up to 20 megahertz. This rule change will impact both Part 74 devices, which are licensed to broadcasters, production companies, and other authorized users, as well as to unlicensed Part 15 devices. The March open meeting will be held on the 14th at 10:30 a.m. Eastern Time. The agenda and draft circulation items are expected to be released this Thursday. One possible item on that agenda will be an order on reconsideration in MB Docket 19-310, which eliminated the requirement that commonly owned FM stations with significant contour overlap cannot duplicate more than 25% of their programming. This order will be as a result of a petition for reconsideration filed jointly by REC Networks, Music First Coalition, and the Future of Music Campaign. The repeal of the rule was part of former FCC Chairman Ajit Pai's Media Modernization Initiative and was adopted on a 3-2 vote back in 2020. The same item also eliminated the anti-duplication rule for AM radio, which REC supported in order to address the issues that AM station licensees faced, as well as to support the transition to all-digital HD radio. Hey, it's the Meechie. Thank you for joining us on this extended edition of FCC Today, the podcast where we bring the Daily Digest to life. Look for this podcast on the Michelle Bradley YouTube channel. Please visit the channel, like this video, and hit that notification dinger to be informed of updates. FCC Today is also available through major podcast providers and on the web at fcc.today. YouTube channel subscriptions are important to us as it will allow us to provide better services in the future. So please go over and subscribe. Thank you for your support. Last Tuesday, the FCC denied an application for review filed by the Albuquerque Board of Education seeking the reinstatement of the license for KRSN Los Alamos, New Mexico, and a related translator. On May 1, 2023, station owner Gillian Sutton voluntarily surrendered the KRSN station license. At the time, no petitions for reconsideration were filed. On August 2, 2023, nearly 2 months after the cancellation was finalized, the school board filed an emergency petition for extraordinary relief, which sought the reinstatement of KRSN and its related translator and the designation of the school board as the temporary trustee of the station so the station can resume operating. The school board stated that the cancellation leaves Los Alamos County with no local licensed AM broadcast service whatsoever, and it includes a letter from the former licensee supporting the petition. The original Media Bureau decision stated that this type of a pleading is not contemplated by FCC rules and therefore was considered as a petition for reconsideration. Since the petition was filed after the cancellation was finalized, the petition was denied as untimely. On a separate basis, the Bureau found that the school board does not have standing to make such a pleading. In their application for review, the school board is now stating that the emergency petition should have been treated as a waiver request, in which the commission countered that there was no waiver request in the petition. The full commission determined that the Media Bureau did not err in their decision, that there was no waiver request, the request was untimely, and that the school board did not have standing to file as they were not a competitor in the market subject to interference, a competitor subject to economic harm, or a resident of the station's service area or regular listener to the station. Unlike surrendered FM licenses, surrendered AM licenses will not be available in future auctions. Last Thursday, the audio division granted an informal objection and dismissed the 2023 LPFM filing window application for Hippie Dippy Tree Hugger Radio, who had proposed a new LPFM station in Galax, Virginia. The objection filed by Albert David stated that the applicant failed to provide any required legal documentation that Hippie Dippy was in fact operating under the laws of the state of Virginia as an unincorporated association. For authorizations in the non-commercial educational broadcast services, including LPFM, the Communications Act requires that the applicant be a corporation, foundation, or association. To determine whether the applicant is a corporation, the FCC depends on recognition as a corporation in any state. In most cases, this is done by showing evidence of incorporation. However, some states do recognize unincorporated associations, which are not required to register with the state. FCC policy on unincorporated associations require that applicants must demonstrate the corporation's validity through including a statement that cites and quotes the unincorporated association law in that state. This statement must also include how and when the applicant, prior to filing the LPFM application, satisfied the requirements for an unincorporated association under the appropriate state law. The FCC prefers this statement to come from an attorney licensed to practice law in the state concerned. Hippy Dippy has 30 days to seek reconsideration of this decision. Last Thursday, the FCC adopted a notice of apparent liability of forfeiture to Brigido Daenerys Gonzalez of Hazleton, Pennsylvania for $40,000 for unauthorized broadcasting pursuant to the Pirate Act. On June 29, 2022, after receiving a complaint, agents from the FCC's New York Field Enforcement Office traced the source of transmissions on 90.1 to an address on Alter Street in Hazleton, Pennsylvania, and determined that it exceeded the limits allowed under Part 15. The station identified itself as La Bacana. On July 12, 2022, agents spoke with the owner of a supermarket located at the Alter Street site. The owner stated that they paid an individual who went by the moniker Super Danny $50 a month to advertise on La Bacana. The owner of the market was not aware of any station operating on their premises. On August 16, 2022, agents found the station again, this time operating from a different location on Locust Street in Hazleton. In 2023, on March 28 and May 9, agents once again found the station, this time operating from a different site on Alter Street. Using information from social media and an interview on YouTube, field enforcement has verified that Gonzalez is the person known as Super Danny. Super Danny has 30 days to fight this proposed $40,000 forfeiture. The FCC has announced that the 2018 Quadrennial Review Report and Order, MB Docket 18-349, has been published in the Federal Register on February 15. For radio, the FCC made permanent the interim contour overlap methodology used for applying local radio ownership rules in areas outside of the Nielsen Audio Metro markets, as well as in Puerto Rico. For television, the order updates the methodology used for determining station ranking within a market to better reflect industry practices and expanded the existing prohibition on the use of affiliation to circumvent the restriction on acquiring a second top four ranked station in a market. Rules adopted will go into effect on March 18, 2024.
FCC Today,
the podcast is available on the Michelle Bradley YouTube channel. Please like the video and subscribe to the channel. It's also available on Podbean, TuneIn, Apple, iHeart, and other podcast providers. For up-to-the-minute action at the Media Bureau and throughout the agency, visit our website at fcc.today. REC Networks, always on at recnet.com. For assistance with LPFM full service and FM translators, contact REC Networks at 202-621-2355. For now, I'm Michelle Bradley, SBE Certified Broadcast Technologist, wishing you a good day from Riverton.
REC.